T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What more can I do? There's nothing that I haven't tried. Still, it's so hard for her to notice that I've tried hard to be straight. There's nothing left I can see. If only she would look my way. Hey, hey, but she don't know me. She don't know.
Bon Jovi's Not Super Hit is your artist of the day. This is from his debut record in 1984.
I think this is great. These are the things you don't hear.
So good.
Great song.
Good stuff.
Track number 3, side 1.
You memorize the most random things.
I know, right?
No, he's just a nerd. That's the fact.
How long is the track?
About 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
False.
Give or take.
Huh?
402.
Oh, it's a 402. I was just good.
It was a good guess, though, because a lot of pop songs are 330.
About 322 or?
Yeah. Yeah,
just throw the number out. I figured it, right or wrong, 5 seconds on each side, I'd be okay.
Wouldn't have been surprised if you were spot on.
We are going to be at Bogey's Windy City Pub this Friday in South Leawood. It's at 133rd and State Line, on the Kansas side of the state line, of course. Bogey's Windy City Pub, 133rd and State Line. I kid you not when I tell you it would be a privilege to spend Friday afternoon with you. We'll do Festivus Friday. Of course, that is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Before we get to our next story, a man, we talked about facial tattoos yesterday.
Yes, we did.
This is from Fox News, so you know it's true. It's out of Terre Haute, Indiana. A man with a tattoo on his forehead that reads, "Crime Pays," has run afoul of police in Indiana for the second time since November. Donald Murray, 38, and by the way, it's big. I mean, it runs like this big all the way across.
He wants you to know when you see him
crime pays.
That crime pays.
Crime pays, man.
Okay.
Crime pays. Donald Murray, who is 38, was busted Monday in Terre Haute after leading police on a short pursuit. He was charged with resisting law enforcement, having a horribly stupid tattoo, and possession of methamphetamine and auto theft. Murray and his tattoo gained notoriety after his first run-in with Terre Haute police on November 29th, and it landed him on the Live PD TV show. That day, cops say he crashed a car after a high-speed chase and then fled on foot. Okay. He was jailed and released in January, and he's already back at it. Okay. You've heard about this before. Remember a couple years ago, like 10, there was a group that wanted Western Kansas to secede from the state of Kansas?
Yes.
Well, now there's a group in Oregon, in eastern Oregon, rural Oregon. They want to join Idaho.
Mm.
And they want to break off eastern Oregon and create a state called Greater Idaho, which would extend Idaho into eastern Oregon, the northern portions of California.
Right.
And then extend Idaho to the coast.
Right.
Through southern
They're
Oregon.
Just gonna
Idaho?
Greater Idaho.
Change the map of the United States because.
Mm-hmm.
They could come up with a better name.
I agree. Idagon?
Idagon. I be gone.
Oraho?
Or you be gone.
Oraho?
Thank you for getting the joke.
Come on.
I got your joke.
took a second, guys. That one took a second.
Now, California's talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking into three within the same state.
Right. Southern California, Central California, Northern California. I'm all for it.
You can't be all for it. It would completely change the makeup of representation.
But where, you would still have the, appropriate representation.
Yeah, but where would the lawmakers go who right now only serve? It would split up where those lawmakers serve is what it would do.
But the people would still have their normal representation.
Well, they would, but like, well, but what are you going to kick the lawmaker out?
But here's what would happen. And I see where you're going, Dana. This idea of, you know, certain portions of states just breaking off. So, for example, and I know we don't normally talk politics, and I'm not talking politics as in what I like or what I don't like, but I see where you're going because the group that wants to join Idaho, for example, okay, would be, they are rural, they are, the story even from Fox News says they are primarily conservatives, et cetera. Now, nobody's getting an extra Senate seat here, okay? And maybe Idaho would gain a couple of extra House seats, so what? But then you start talking about states seceding from the union, and not states, but portions of states seceding from the union. So Kansas breaks off into two. Well, now what used to be Kansas and has two senators now has four senators, and more likely than not, they would all be Republican.
Yeah, we need more lawmakers in the state. Like, I need then, coronavirus.
Then you would have New York say, well, all right, we're going to match Kansas to even out everything in the Senate.
We want two more.
We're going to split New York in half, and we're going to get two more senators from New York that are Democrats. And then, you know.
It's never going to happen.
And then North Dakota says, all right, we're going to split in half. We're going to be Western North Dakota and Eastern North Dakota and too many directions, and now I'm confused on where I'm going, and we're going to add another two Republicans to the Senate, and then another liberal state breaks off and splits in half, and it's stupid.
And we'll get to the 57 states eventually. But what people forget...
I got that joke
yeah,
quick.
Thank you. What people forget is, you know, the way that we... like to we, and I say the, you know, the press and the media and all the visuals, we like to do this red and blue and show which state is which color. The thing is, they're all purple, all of them, because just because you have a state that votes Democrat 51%, 49% Republican in this election, you've still got those 49% that voted
right.
this other party. Mm-hmm. So it's very close. It's all purple. You know, just because one group, you know, wins an election and has some power for a little while over the other one, you still have all these, all the people that live there that are all blended. It's all purple.
Although I will say this, and I've thought this for a long time, I do think Puerto Rico should be a state.
Amen.
3 million people. They have more people than we have in the state of Kansas. And they have zero representation.
But are they Americans?
No. Dan, quit screwing around. Everybody knows.
Do not.
That Puerto Ricans are not American.
Go down that road again, please.
Where are we going to put the 51st star?
I'm not even, no.
In the center.
It's right in the middle.
Once we get them all sworn in as American citizens.
We've done this before with the stars on the field. We can
but 51's kind of a weird one.
Just watermark one giant star in the background.
Watermark, really?
Don't you remember Hawaii 5-0?
Yeah, it's still on Friday nights on
we
CBS.
We can't change it. It's Hawaii 5-0. Not 5-1, not 5-7.
It's not 5-0 because it was...
No.
No.
It's
5-0 because of the police.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's not 5-0 because Hawaii was the 50th state.
It's time to go to break.
No, it's not. That's the name of the police organization for which they work.
Is that why Vanilla Ice says Roland in my 5.0?
That's a Mustang 5.0.
Yeah. You know what? Pick a meaning for 50, please.
Oh my gosh. 5.0 has long, for decades now, been known as the code for the cops are here. 5.0.
5.0.
I'm done.
It means it's the fifth reincarnation of the Mustang. You know, like Windows 2.0. Jeez.
Okay, on the show, the cops would announce themselves saying, police, 5-0.
Yes.
Right.
Not Hawaii, we're a state.
They weren't saying, police, last state in the union, coming in.
Well, you're welcome.
But I guess that's why they say every road.
always has its fun. Just like every night.
We're going to hear from Sheila Albers here in just a moment. She did an interview with Dana. This story is from NBC News. For 2 weeks, the man who fatally shot Sheila Albers' 17-year-old son was known to her only as Officer John Doe. Authorities in Overland Park, Kansas, concealed his name from the public during the investigation into the January 20th, 2018 shooting, and his identity was confirmed by officials only after Albers' attorney uncovered it for a civil lawsuit, which was filed in April of 2018 against the officer and his employer, the Overland Park Police Department. The difficulties that Albers faced to get basic information into how her son John died are not unique in a state where police records are largely kept under wraps even when a case is closed. It took a month for Johnson County District Attorney Steve Howe to decide to clear the officer, Clayton Jennison, of wrongdoing. Before then, Overland Park Police Chief Frank Donchez had refused to release the officer's name. Albers said she was never afforded any police reports or any witness statements.
But in the state of Kansas, our open records laws are so poor that it allows government entities to hide things from the public and deem them personnel records or private records. And the records that we're asking for are not private, and they are not personnel records.
And it's not going to change the outcome. It's not going to bring back your son.
Oh, no.
But as a family member, as his mother, you have no right legally to see the evidence that led to the decision that this was a justified
shooting. No, I have no legal rights for it. None. I would have to, someone would have to sue for the records, which I think is just disgusting. Why would anyone in the public have to sue for records to justify
government records?
Government records to support a public decision that impacts public safety.
All right, so where are we at now?
As we speak, the Albers family and two other families are testifying in Topeka in front of a Kansas House Judiciary Committee. Not because of the facts of this case. And we're not here to talk about the facts of the case. The ruling stands. The district attorney ruled this was a justified shooting. This is about why, in the state of Kansas, those records are allowed to be blocked and hidden from anyone when someone is cleared. And you'll remember one of the other cases, Scott. It's the swatting case.
The one in Wichita?
Remember in Wichita, someone called and said, playing a video game or something, you need to get to this address, and a completely innocent kid answered the door and was shot and killed by police. Yeah. That family's testifying today, too, because when this happens and it is ruled a justified shooting, the records are sealed. They're allowed to be hidden. And all these families are saying is let us see the evidence that led to this. So diagrams, Scott, and I don't want to make this about the officer's name. The names and addresses under their proposed legislation would be redacted, and I would argue should be redacted. Somebody
writes in, Dana, I wonder if her son had been arrested dozens of times, if she would want those reports being of his arrest
those
being made
would
public.
Be public.
Those are public knowledge. Those are public
records.
All
of that is public. In Kansas, for some crazy reason, when a shooting is ruled justified, those records are allowed to be closed. In Missouri, they're not.
Somebody says, please explain to me the need for the public to know the officer's name in this case. The family has a right to know for civil litigation, but nothing is served by putting this officer's name out there except for people who want to hate on him, make threats, and threaten
his family. I will say it again. The names, addresses, and phone numbers would be redacted under this bill. They're not talking about names, Scott. They're talking about the diagrams, witness statements.
Right. What she's arguing for, and correct me if I'm wrong, let me just, because we had her in about a month ago or so.
This is not about the facts of the death.
She wants to know what the police report says regarding the lead up to the shooting of her son. None of which had been made public.
None of it is
and
public.
And if that were to be made public, even Sheila Albers is arguing please redact the officer's name
yes.
and, of course, his address.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And let me give you an example. There are 4 dash cam videos from the scene that day. They selectively released 2 to the media and have hidden the other 2. And this is what I will say as a reporter, and the Kansas Association of Broadcasters is backing this bill. You hide something and say, there's something on this piece of paper, Scott, and I'm not going to let you see it. What do you automatically think when a government official says
you did something wrong?
You're not allowed to see this. The natural reaction
the
is to say,
is you did something wrong.
Well, what's on that piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I don't understand is in the state of Missouri, it's open. After the case is closed, the records are opened. I would argue all of this in the public interest should be opened, with the exception of the redactation of the officer's name and the address. When a child dies in protective custody through the social services system, I've argued for years that should be open. And in Kansas, it is not. They've actually written this bill, Scott, after a similar bill in Wisconsin that had bipartisan support. Republicans, Democrats all said, why are we hiding this information?
So long as they redact the name of the officer short of a civil lawsuit, okay?
Sure.
And always redact, no matter what, the officer's address, even though there are ways around that. God knows people could find my address if they wanted to. As long as they redact his name short of a lawsuit, and as long as what the families would get would be the lead up, the thinking.
And it wouldn't just be the families. Public is public. It
I
would
understand.
Be the media. It would be, Scott, you of all people who argue for smaller government, for open government, but smaller government.
Yes.
I don't understand how anyone can be against this. It's easy to make this about an officer's address. That's not what this is about. Mm. Where's the evidence?
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me. And I asked her, could you accept the fact that this was ruled justifiable if you saw the evidence? And she said, we would accept that decision. Show me all of the dash cam, not just 2.
576-7798. 576-7798.
No matter what you think you hold, you'll find it's not enough. No matter who you think you know, you won't get through.
Get in, y'all.
And the young man's name, Scott, who was killed in Wichita, name was Andrew Finch, and he was the victim, the unintended, completely innocent victim of a swatting scam where some idiot in California called police and said, you need to go to this address. Andrew Finch answered the door and was shot and killed. And his family, mm-hmm. along with 2 other families, including the Albers family from Overland Park, are testifying in Topeka as we speak today. And under their proposed legislation, essentially the investigative file would be open to the public after an officer is cleared in one of these cases. And in the swatting case, the officer was cleared, Scott.
Well, and in the case of Sheila Albers' son, the officer was cleared.
And we're not here to relitigate that. This is not about police or about prosecutors. This is about crap policy.
The question
is a terrible policy to hide the details in cases like this when generally one person has the power to make the decision whether or not you prosecute.
Let's go to Aaron on line 1. What up, man?
Guys.
Hey.
So, being a police officer is a thankless job. And that to the side, you know, if you have one bad apple, it'll spoil the whole bunch. And if that officer's name is redacted, which I don't know why you guys think their name should be redacted, but if their name's redacted and they have, you know, keep doing things that are bad over and over again, even if they go to a different department, how does anybody know?
Ron, and real quick, I'm not saying in this case or any other case anyone's done anything wrong. What I'm saying is there's no way to know because the files are closed.
And I agree with that.
But let me throw some out here, Aaron, and then let you respond to it. I do think that unless the police officer is facing a civil lawsuit, and even then, sometimes I would argue a police officer's name should be redacted, even in the case of a civil lawsuit, until it goes to trial, which, of course, at that point, he would have to become, or she would have to become publicly known. There are plenty of people in Kansas City, Missouri, who work undercover. And if, say, for example, a drug house was raided by the police, okay? And bad guy one and bad guy two ended up going to prison. And bad guy three, who didn't, wanted details on how the police figured this one out. And they sued or went to the police department and said, I want the police file on this. And then it would become known through that police file that there was an undercover cop in that house, and here's his name if you want to go kill him.
That's why you redact it. And I want to read
there's
real
couple,
quick.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Aaron.
There's a couple of exemptions there. Undercover is always exempted from paperwork, and it's mostly always redacted. The other thing is just what you were saying earlier, is if you have nothing to hide, you know, why don't you go ahead and show it? And I'll give you a prime example. The police officer, when he comes up to your car and he asks to search your vehicle, well, if you got nothing to hide, let me search your vehicle. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, tit for tat on that.
And again, Aaron, we're not saying anyone has anything to hide, but you go hiding government records after the death of a young man. My natural go-to reporter brain says, what's in that file? In any case, not just this case, in any case, you go hiding public documents that should be public, and my radar goes up.
I agree.
I want to read just a little bit of her statement that she's reading in front of the Judiciary Committee. I've got a copy of it here.
As we speak.
She says, as parents and constituents, my husband and I find it grossly unacceptable that we have not seen any of the material used to clear the officer that shot our son. We've never seen 2 of 4 dash cams, a reconstruction report, a police report, officer involved shooting investigation report, or any witness statements. We were offered the same information released to the general public on February 20th, and that included a statement of facts to support a narrative that was not entirely factual. And then we've got some sound from Sheila here because she's in Topeka testifying.
It's inhumane, and I feel so passionately that the government has a moral imperative to be honest and transparent with family first and then the community second. And that I feel they're more worried about liability than they are responsibility.
What do you want people to know about John?
He was intense. So if he loved you, he loved you very intensely. Like, and he was incredibly loyal to his friends and to me and to Steve and his brothers. Fierce competitor. He was a keeper, a goalie. And I loved watching him play. Like, he would come out of the goal at 90 miles an hour, fearless as all get out, with his white blonde hair, and he would dive for a ball and didn't care if he got kicked in the face because he was going to save the ball.
He'd be so proud of you for this, though.
No. I miss him. I miss him. Once in a blue moon, I will dream about him. And then when you wake up just for a brief second, you think he is still there. And then you realize he is not. And my dream about him last week was he had come back. And I kept holding his face and I said, oh, you're back. Oh, you're back. And I wouldn't let him out of my sight because he was back. And, you know, and then you wake up and you realize, oh, this is the nightmare we're in. And that's where I find this lack of transparency just so grossly unacceptable, because it doesn't provide closure, and it actually exacerbates the trauma, not just for my family, but for his friends and for neighbors who just say, this just doesn't make sense. What was released by the DA and what was said by the judge, those facts don't match. And so where do you heal then? And how do you move on?
Hmm. the woman, and I'm with Aaron, where there are probably certain circumstances where the police or prosecutors are certainly well within their rights to say, there's no way this is coming out.
But laws decide that, Scott.
I understand. But my larger point is, this woman has a right to know the scenario that led up to her son's death. You know, I guess if I wanted to go
through... But I would say we all have the right to know.
I understand. Well, not necessarily. I mean, back to my original point, let's say police raid a drug house through the information they get from an undercover cop and they kill somebody in the house. Then I would foresee a scenario where you don't release that file because you're going to put somebody's life at risk. And that life is the undercover cop who's in the house.
I absolutely agree with you there. But what they are talking about here
is totally different. And
are the investigative documents. Right. And Scott, again, you got to look at this not necessarily with just the Albers case. She will tell you this is much bigger than John. This is bigger than John. And if it's such bad policy, then why does Missouri allow it? Why does Wisconsin allow it? These files are all open in other states across the country.
And I don't know.
In Kansas, they aren't.
I don't know the answer. In the case of Sheila Albers' son, is his name John? Is that right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be disrespectful. I can't think of a reason why you cannot release a redacted version of what led to the prosecutor's decision not to file charges.
And then you can agree or disagree.
That's fine.
And she even said, I can agree or disagree. But no one is in a position to agree or disagree because the file is allowed to be closed.
Mm-hmm. 576-7798, 576-7798. This Friday, we are at Bogey's Windy City Pub, 133rd and State Line in Leawood. Be an honor and a privilege to spend Friday afternoon with you here on KMBZ.
Where do broken hearts go? Can they find their way home? Back to the open arms of a love.
Sappy on me today with these 80s, man. How about something with a little faster beat?
I don't know. It's a sad topic.
I know, but you don't have to bring me down even more.
We're going to make you laugh in a little bit because good friend of the program is going to be calling in the 4 o'clock hour.
Did he confirm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, from CNN, the man who plays Indiana Jones is ready for his next crusade. Actor Harrison Ford telling Ellen DeGeneres in an appearance on her talk show that production on the fifth Indiana Jones movie will begin this summer. I can deny that it's not happening, Ford told DeGeneres when asked about reports of another installment. So it is happening?
How old is he? Not that I'm... Whatever.
Will you look it up? I think he's 78.
Indiana Jones can be 78.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade were released in 81, 84, and 89, respectively. In his interview on CBS, this was a separate interview, Ford said he feels a sense of responsibility anytime he returns to an iconic role. Brother.
He is 77 years 77. Old currently.
Okay.
He's old.
I mean.
This means he would be 78 or 79 when the movie came out.
Or yeah. 80.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved him in The Force Awakens. It was good. Yeah. But it's time to let it go, brother. The Nazis weren't around for 30 years. I mean, you got to let them go.
Well, Danny Glover's 73, and they're doing another...
Well, and Rambo, hello, I made a joke that he was like 98 in that last movie, which was horrible.
Which was great. May have been the best Rambo movie of all.
So why is Harrison Ford too old, but Sylvester Stallone is just fine?
Have you seen Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, I watched the movie.
What prompted
2 hours of my life I will never get back.
How do you not enjoy that kind of a movie?
Stallone is 73 as well.
It was so bad.
It was so good when he goes down to Mexico and tries to save his niece.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and when he literally crucifies that guy with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Did
like
you
a
hear,
little kid in a candy store.
Did you hear what happened to Taylor Swift's dad in Florida this week? And yep. Wait until you see the mugshot. Oh, I love this song.
See, this is amazing. Like, you don't like Rambo, and you won't even go see Bad Boys for Life, which, by the way, is the greatest movie of the last 3 or 4 years. And you think that is good music?
It's great music.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I agree with Scott.
Taylor
on this one.
Swift's dad recently fought off a burglar who climbed like Spider-Man up a building and then broke into his $4 million Florida penthouse.
Paid for by his daughter, I'm sure.
Scott Swift returned to his home in St. Petersburg moments after a guy named Terrence Hoover, 30 years old, used an emergency escape stairwell to climb 13 floors to get into the house. The men fought before Hoover ran away. He's got a lengthy arrest record. No shock there. He's being held on a $50,000 bond. Hoover's mother tells the Florida newspaper that her son made a mistake and actually got lost while searching for his estranged wife.
Right.
And should only be charged with trespassing.
Hmm. So he put the beat down on this guy.
Well, I don't know. The guy's smiling in his mugshot. I think he knew exactly.
He's smirking. He's.
I think he knew exactly who he was targeting because this Swift's dad has the whole floor.
Well, and
he owns the entire floor.
Did you not say it was $4 million penthouse?
Yeah.
Does his estranged wife live in a $4 million penthouse?
Right. He knew. He
was
knew.
Looking for his estranged wife in a $4 million penthouse.
That's so weird. He made a mistake. It was another $4 million penthouse I was looking for. Please.
That would be like saying that you broke into that house at 55th and Warnell, you know, that really big, gorgeous home.
Ward Parkway.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
And you thought your ex-wife lived there.
Yeah. I was just looking for my estranged wife. I thought she might be here in this very large $5 million house.
I'd like to stay here and keep looking for her.
Maybe she's in the guest house out back.
Speaking of which,
I don't know. I don't know.
I fell while climbing the fence, so I'm going to be billing you for medical expenses.
I mean, the guy did climb 13 stories. That's kind of impressive.
People are dumb. Let's get back to why you don't like good movies.
I am going to go see Bad Boys 4 because my son wants to go
see it. Bad Boys 3.
Whatever. 3, 4.
Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, okay.
Bad Boys for Life.
Got it.
Did you see Bad Boys 1 or Bad Boys 2?
I don't believe so.
So you don't even have the backstory.
I think I'll be okay.
Dana.
The backstory.
I don't know that I need a lot of prep work going into Bad Boys 3. I'm good.
It's Bad Boys for Life. But you don't even know why they say, you know, ride together, die together, Bad Boys for Life. You don't know any of that stuff.
I feel like I could just walk in at any moment and still pick up on what's going on.
Did they or did they not go to high school together?
Sure. Yes.
They did.
Okay. Is that all I need to know?
Sounds like we're having a Bad Boys movie marathon.
No, we're not.
1, 2, and 3.
In episode 2, they travel to what foreign country?
I don't know.
Episode 2, are we talking about Star Wars now?
Nor do I care.
Bad Boys 2.
And I think either way I'll be good just walking in and seeing number 3 cold.
They had to go to Cuba.
Mm. Okay. When we get back, you are going to want to hang on for this.
I can't believe you.
Dan?
Yes, ma'am.
What is the most likely room in your home where you will fall and injure yourself or die?
That would be your bathroom?
That is correct. And someone very close to this program almost died. We are going to talk to him coming up.
Did Scott Parks fall?
No, but somebody else did, and I didn't know it till I saw it on Twitter last night.
Mm.
And he will join us after the 4 o'clock.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Okay. We're going to be at Bogey's Windy City Pub this Friday, 2 to 6, 133rd and State Line in Leawood. We would love to hang out with you on Friday afternoon. Again, that's at Bogey's Windy City Pub, 133rd and State Line in Leawood.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime.
at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.